Good evening, students. So good to come and be before you. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share with you in this school, this apostolic school of ministry that's preparing you to wear the apostolic mantle of Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., who's the founder of this school. Whenever you're following someone, look for evidence, proof. So we have an apostle who have been proven, and he's worthy of us following. So I thank God for all of you. Thank God for the royal family. I thank God for Apostle the royal family for all of the ministries that he oversees. I think that, thank God that they're all prospering and in good health. And so tonight we're here to finish up chapter number 5. Which is, it's distinguishing, discerning, and judging in the realm of prophecy. That's chapter number 5 in the book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. And we're going to pick up from where we left off last evening when we met together. Go ahead. Last week, we started with the 7 ways to judge and to discern prophetic revelation. Number 1 is judging the source of prophecy. Number 2 is judging the content of the prophecy. What is it saying? Or what is it implying? We must learn to judge. Listen, we must learn to judge the actual content of the message that the prophecy is given. Now, here's how we judge it. Number 1, is it in line with the canon of Scripture? Is it in line with the prophetic word? The prophetic word must be examined carefully. In the light of all Scripture, and the prophetic word must be tested on the basis on whether it conforms in content with the principles and precepts of the written word of God. Number 2, does it line up? Does the prophecy that's being given line up with the testimony of Jesus? All that Jesus himself testifies and is presently testifying through the Holy Spirit and through his messengers form important criteria for judging prophecy. A right word at the right time brings the grace of God. Prophecy should help confirm and establish what Jesus is saying to his church, which is his body. Revelation 19 and 10 says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and I'm of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Number 3, does the prophetic word uphold other scriptures, and is that prophetic word in balance with the whole counsel of God? Every prophetic word must be measured with the whole counsel of God so that that word can be wisely communicated. All that the Spirit is saying is established in the word. All that the word is revealing is confirmed by the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word always agree. The Spirit confirms the Word while the Word upholds the Spirit's actions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 20 through 22. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearances of evil. Number three, judging by the character of prophecy. Whom does the message of prophecy reveal? In the New Testament, operations of the prophetic revelations, the recipient must learn to intelligently carry the message upon his heart. He has to learn to respond well to the nature of the message. The purpose of the prophetic word, the purpose of the prophetic word is restoration and the lifting up of the soul, but not to condemn it. When we overreact to God's message, or when we have a negative response to God's message, our emotions and our frustrations get entangled with the precious work of the Holy Spirit and contaminates the character of the prophetic word. The immaturity of our character and our negative response can corrupt the nature of the prophetic word. In communicating God's word, we are to portray and we ought to reveal the character of God and God's desires for his people. The contents of the prophecy could be right, but the nature and the character of the prophecy could be Christless. In other words, you're speaking, but it's not in the spirit of Christ. The words, though they came from God, becomes contaminated because of the vessel that is flowing through. Go ahead. Thus misrepresenting the master. Proverbs 15 and 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Y'all know that God has given us the tongue of the learned and we have the tongue of the wise. Do you know words that we speak, that we say, come from God? See, all prophetic words are designed for comfort, for exhortation, and for exhortation. Or we could say exhortation, edification, and comfort, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Go ahead. God's word reveals God's character. God sent forth his word into our hearts as seed to plant his character and his nature into us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So y'all understand that we have God's divine nature. God's divine nature is implanted on the inside of us. You know what the Bible says in 1 John 3:8? Look over there. You might want to look at this. 1 John 3:8. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Keep reading. Whosoever is born of God, whosoever is what? Born of God, doeth not what? Commit sin. Read. Oh, for his seed, for God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You know, the church won't even touch them. Are you listening? Are you listening? We have to get the outer man to line up with the inner man who can't sin. Are you listening? What does that mean? If I am not allowing my soul to be transformed, to be renewed, to crucify the carnal mind, then my outer man could never display my inward reality. In other words, I will not practice, live, and commit sin. Are you listening? When the inner, are you listening, is manifested through the soul, causing the body to be in alignment. Without soul alignment, there is no body alignment. God's seed of his word is sown in our innermost being, the spirit of man. It is the spirit of man that is made a new creation. But we must transform that inner life to this outer life by walking in sanctification, holiness, and consecration. That's the hallmark of Apostle Thompson's ministry. And that's what he is endeavoring to impart to all who follow him. Are you listening? Go ahead. A good prophecy has the ability to reveal Christ. Let us not alter the nature and character of his message because of our overreaction and immaturity. Number four, judging prophecy by the test of fulfillment. Let me say this. It's time, you know, if you call yourself a real prophet, it don't take 400 years for what God told you to manifest in somebody's life. We got to start fessing up. Say, God didn't tell me to tell you that. Go ahead. When judging prophecy by the test of fulfillment, we need to understand four things. Number one, the creative power. Y'all heard that? The creative power of prophecy. Number two, the imparting power of prophecy. Number three, the conditional aspects of prophecy. And number four, the process of prophetic fulfillment. The creative power of prophecy. Prophecy, y'all listening to me, is more than just words spoken in due season. God's word is a living entity containing within itself the divine power to accomplish itself. You know what that means? No word of God that he speaks returns to him empty. It is impossible for a word that God speaks to come back empty. I didn't say that. God said it. God said, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. That's Isaiah 55:11. so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, you know, when God takes his word and put in our mouth, that's God speaking. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Go ahead. The spoken prophetic word releases that power to perform what is spoken and to bring about the fulfillment of its content. That's Jeremiah 1:12. That's Jeremiah 1:12. God say, I hasten. I watch over my word to perform it. Go ahead. The Hebrew word, debar, means to drive forth that which is behind. Thus, the word debar is not. Thus, the word debar is not only something that is spoken, but it also something that is driven forward to accomplish its message. It not only means a spoken word, but also indeed. The spoken word and its accomplished actions are not two different functions, but one basic concept. A false prophet is one whose words are counterfeit and empty. Now notice this. A false prophet's words lack the inner power to manifest them. Just say it. Read it again. They lack the inner power for accomplishing the content of the word. That's a false prophet's word. They lack the inner power to accomplish what they are speaking. Go ahead. Deuteronomy 18:22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord had not what? Now, y'all know we don't hear that in the church today, huh? We are afraid to tell people God didn't tell you that. Oftentimes, you know, when you're really flowing in prophecy, when you really have a supernatural utterance that come from God, number one, it will change the complete atmosphere. Why? Because God's word is a container of his presence. Are you listening? It has the power to drive out anything that's trying to resist it. Go ahead. The prophetic utterance given through proven prophets initiates a divine process that brings the prophetic message into effect into the lives of those that are being ministered to. Imparting power, the imparting power that's in prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, but by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up, Timothy, my son, the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The prophetic utterances carried with it the creative power that gave or channeled the gift from God to Timothy. Timothy was not just informed about the gifting, but he received an impartation of it. The conditional aspect of prophecy. The life that's in a seed does not become a tree unless that seed is planted, watered, and nurtured to grow. God does not overstep human responsibility. The prophetic word carries with it the power to accomplish if unhindered. Yet its fulfillment may be hindered by the recipient's life. The quality or measure of fulfillment will depend upon the recipient's ability who received that prophetic word. We can always receive more than the prophecy. We're not limited by our prophecy, but it is a stepping stone for higher things of God. Y'all want to know why? Because you only prophesy in part. God doesn't tell you the whole. Are you listening? He tells you a part. So as you follow, he can give you more. Other than that, you wouldn't be walking by faith. Are you listening? For the just shall live by faith. And the surest word of prophecy that all of us can be given is the canon of Scripture. Are you listening? As a matter of fact, God wants the canon of Scripture to become the rhema to you. When you are reading and meditating, God wants that word to jump off of that page and talk to you. When the Holy Spirit talked to you, now you're talking about prophecy being given. Why are you always waiting on a man to prophesy? When the Holy Ghost, who? Well, if holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, then the message actually came from the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. A prophetic word can sometimes be hindered in its fulfillment by the life of its recipient because certain conditions have not been fulfilled or met. Certain instructions have not been followed. And certain commands have not been obeyed. You got to follow instructions. You got to obey commands. Go ahead. How do we cooperate and bring prophecy to its fulfillment? Number one, do not limit yourself in your mind. Do you hear that? If you're being prophesied to in part, right? You only have a part. You don't have the whole. So why are you going to limit yourself to what was spoken when you only got a part of? Are you listening? God never tell you the whole. God saved Saul and say, I'm going to tell you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. Well, he was out there persecuting the church. But God said concerning Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, he said, well, all that you're doing to my church, I'm just showing you what the people are going to do to you. Thank you. What a great word of prophecy, huh? Y'all want all the good prophecies, houses, cars, lands, this and that. I told, I'm going to show you what great things you got to suffer for my name's sake. Okay, go ahead. Always believe God for more than the prophecy and see beyond the horizon of the prophetic word. Know that God is able to do what he said. Let faith be active and aggressive. Keep praying along the lines of prophecy. Saturate prophecy with prayer and intercession. Keep enlarging your thought pattern along the content of the prophecy. Ask the Holy Spirit to work and establish the prophecy that is revealed to your spirit. Develop the spirit of humility. Do not think more highly of yourself than what you ought to think. Develop a prophetic consciousness of God's destiny over your life. Now, here's some prophetic counsel. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake of it, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him only and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and shall cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he had spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall you put the evil away from the midst of thee. There is a need for prophets to be accountable for their prophets. There's a need. Let me say this. In 2023, there's a need for prophets and people who want to give prophecies to be held accountable for the words that they're giving people. We got to be careful of manipulation in the church. Prophecy is not manipulation. God will not allow you to be manipulated through prophecy. But you can allow it, because people say things like, I want a word. Well, the surest word of prophecy you can get is the canon of scripture. And through prayer, studying the word, meditating the word, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, are you listening? You can receive all of the prophecy and assurance you need from him. And a true prophet will only speak in line with the canon of scripture. And a true prophet is never afraid of his word being judged by other prophets or the canon of scripture. Are you listening? Go ahead. Old Testament prophets moved in circuits. They went back continuously to the people that they ministered to before. This either increased their credibility or decreased their lifespan. There is a need to give prophecies that can be fulfilled over a short period of time. This increases the recipient's faith towards prophetic utterances. When a prophecy given reveals accurately what God has been doing and is doing in the life of the recipient, it directs them to work in accordance to what God is working within them. Number five, judging by the confirmation of the Spirit, knowing an inner witness within. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, And you need not that any man teach you. But as that same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as that anointing had taught you, you should abide in him. Judging by this means is the most subjective of all the ways of proving a prophetic word. But it is only reliable if the recipient is truly abiding and walking with God. When a man is walking inconsistently in the Holy Spirit, this safeguard is no longer beneficial to him. Number six, judging by the conduct of the prophet, the testimony of Jesus' life on the minister. A tree is known by its own fruit or the fruit it produced. Luke 6, 43 and 44. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For the thorns, men do not gather figs, nor of bramble, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. The lifestyle, character, and conversation of the man must produce and bring forth Christ-likeness and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about perfection, but holiness. We ought to hate iniquity and love righteousness. Hebrews 1 and 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and thou hast hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. The gifts or equipment are tools given for the service of God. Gifts are given, but fruit are produced. One is given in our lives, while the other is produced through our living relationship with the Holy Spirit. Number seven, judging through other witnesses, seeking the counsel of the others who are walking in the Spirit. The law of confirmation must be applied to the proving of the prophetic words. This especially applies to prophetic words involving major and important decisions and those that will bring significant changes in direction of the church and personal lives. Deuteronomy 17, 16, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Deuteronomy 19, 15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinned. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. 2 Corinthians 13 and 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Go ahead. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The responsibility of judging a prophetic word of this level and nature falls upon those who are established in spiritual leadership. Do not rush to let others interpret what God is saying to you. They are largely to confirm what God has already established in our hearts. Do not just go to anyone, but only to those who are familiar with prophetic utterances and who are lovers of God's word. When prophetic words are given in a meeting, the prophets present or the church leadership must judge and weigh in order to respond wisely. The example of Paul should be observed, who received the revelations of Jesus and submitted them to other brethren who were more mature in the ministry. Galatians 2:2. And I went up by revelation, and I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. We need to relate with them who have gone before us, as this provides to us continuous safety for those of us who are younger in the ministry and giftings. Now, remember, exams are next week, and we'll see you the following week after that. God bless.